and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. It's me and Conrad again today.
Woo!
But it's not his birthday today.
Not anymore.
Did you have a nice birthday?
It was lovely, actually. It was a nice birthday, yes.
There were lots of people online wishing you happy birthday.
Yes, I had nearly 100 messages on Facebook.
Yeah, see? People love you, mate.
Oh.
They don't know you like I do.
No, they don't.
That's why they love you. Right, anyway.
Today.
We're going straight into it today because, you know, we normally waffle for like 5 minutes.
I didn't get a waffle maker for my birthday.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm hoping for a deep fat fryer for Christmas.
That's not how you're going to lose weight, though, is it?
Well, it depends what you're cooking it.
Not you, though.
No, not me, because that would be bad.
Might get help with the weight loss a bit, though. But you might end up with, like, 100% burns. Probably not good.
That would be really very bad.
So, just to put it out there that I'm not advocating that people should go out there and cook themselves a deep fat fries.
Yes, because that would be bad. And if you do that and want to sue, it's Conrad EJ Gonsalves.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I can give you his phone number and address on application.
Hooray, thank you very much. Right, what are we talking about today?
Right, so...
Games.
We are talking about games. Games that look lovely. That they have lovely miniatures. And the rules, you know, if you can see them online, look nice.
Or not nice, even.
Or not nice. But nobody plays them. Or at least nobody I know plays them.
Yeah, that we know of, yeah.
Yes. Certainly my prime example of this would be Dark Age.
Yes, exactly right. Dark Age.
How does it survive?
Well, that's a separate issue, isn't it? There must be a user base out there in terms of games, people playing the games, because they're still releasing products for it, you know? And some of the stuff looks stunning miniatures-wise.
Yeah, but I don't know anyone who plays it. I don't know anyone who has ever played it.
Neither do I.
And yet you're right. I mean, they release a ton of miniatures. And there are a ton of miniatures online.
Did they kickstart something recently as well? Or was it just...
Or did they? I don't know.
Was it just new product lines coming out?
I think it was just new product lines. But I don't know. But, I mean... Who plays Dark Age?
How does it play? It looks like a skirmish game.
Well, it is a skirmish game. You can get the basic rules online. You can get
freebies.
Yeah, the core rules, the ability list, tournament rules, and something called March to Invulnerability, Immortality. Sorry, which is a tournament rule set. You know, same as Steamroller or something like that.
See, look at you with your research and everything.
I know. It's almost professional. I'll say bums or something just to dispel that. But so there are things. I mean, and their tournament format rules are, you know, there's three types. There's 4 to 8, 9 to 24, and 25 to 36 players. But
what was the highest there?
Up to 36.
That says something in itself, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. And certainly from the time limits that they put on the rules, the game plays quickly. A 1,000-point game, which is the biggest one, is got a 90-minute time limit.
So it's a decent game length as such.
Yeah. But I don't know anyone who plays it. At all. Which is weird because the figures are really nice. And it, you know, it's that, it's sort of post-apocalyptic, faction-based thing that you would have thought there would be a demand for. But I just don't know who plays.
Every time I see the miniatures, you know, it's predominantly at Wayland, I suppose, or in adverts on Twitter or in the wargaming sort of press type thing, I go, that looks nice. And then sometimes I'll go away to the website and have a quick look. But as you said, you know, like a lot of these games that we're going to talk about, I don't know anyone else who plays them. You need a core group of players to be able to play it and give it a good go sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there must be clubs, you know, around the world and things where people pick it up and play the game, and that's what the sport is. Now, it's interesting that it is, I don't know how well they make it thing, but it is either written or owned by one of the guys who runs Cool Mini or not.
Is it written, it's written in a particular language? Is it come from a particular country?
Well, it's all based on the artwork of one guy, isn't it?
Okay, I didn't know that.
It's either Brom or Bron. I think it's Brom, B-R-O-M. It's based on his artwork, the game. And the early stuff. I mean, because it's been around for years.
Yes, that's the other thing. It has been around for years.
And so the art was based on him, but I'm pretty sure that it's backed by Cool Mini.
Well, the story comes up in dollars, and it looks as though it's the photographs, the stock photographs of the figures look very Cool Mini-ish as well.
Let's see.
But there's what, six factions there or five factions, and I mean, some of them look stunning. You know, some of the figures and the artwork and core concepts look absolutely stunning. But who plays it?
I don't know, but it's not the only one that I have this dilemma about. Mercy Miniatures game. Darklands.
Mears Miniatures, I think they're
called. Mears. Is that how you pronounce it? Mercy. Yeah. M-I-R. It's... Okay, whatever. Their game, Darklands.
Oh, it's got dark in it again. There's a bit of a common theme here.
Yeah. Now, it seems to run almost exclusively through Kickstarter.
Expansion-wise.
Well, yeah, so they've done five Kickstarters. Each of them, you know, between 550 and 650%. Funded, the sums that they raised, you know, they're normally over $100,000 per, but it's the sort of the same number of backers every time.
So it's very, you know, probably the same people, isn't it?
Again, it's between sort of 500 to 600 people backing it. Which means that they're getting a very high average spend, you know, £250 to £300 per person.
But to be fair, their figures are not cheap.
No, so... but they're lovely.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But, I mean, some of the artists that are using for concept work and, you know, going back in the days to the days of Maelstrom.
Yeah.
I'd seen some of the artwork that was being used, and the figures are stunning. You know, they are absolutely, they are works of art.
I have no problem with the pricing at all, because you know what you're getting. I've got a few. I've got a big bear rider guy, and I've got some sort of snake men things that I use in other games. I'm going to use them. The snake men are going to be used in an open combat sort of more elite war band, the Stygian snake horde type thing. And they're absolutely lovely. I don't know anyone who plays.
No, I don't even know. I mean, I saw some of the early concept videos of the games, the playtest games sort of thing, but not seen or heard how the game plays at all.
Yeah, I mean, but obviously there's someone. I mean, if you look at what they've made, 243, I mean, they've probably made £500,000 over their five Kickstarter projects. That's a big hobby investment.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. And I've not heard anything about whether there have been issues with production of miniatures, everything's appeared on time or what. So I'm guessing that because of that, things have been going out on time and people are satisfied with it.
Yeah. Oh, there was a ringing.
There was. I've turned the volume down.
But it's another game, you know, beautiful, beautiful miniatures. Top quality artists, top quality sculptors. They're cast in exquisite resin. As miniatures, you can't fault it. I don't know very much about the rules, but I don't know anyone who plays the game. And I thought, you know, that I would do, because, you know, it's a fantasy skirmish game from what I can make out. I love fantasy skirmish games.
It's got a very Celtic...
Yeah, it's got a Dark Age feel, hasn't
yep.
it?
Yep.
Sort of fantasy Dark Ages, slain from 2000 AD, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Fits in those sorts of Celtic Irish myths. Fit together, but so, I mean, we should say, if you do play these games, get in contact and tell us why you play these games, or record a show about the games and send it in, because I'm very interested. But from quality miniatures to miniatures that I certainly don't think are as good as the other two that we've discussed so far, the various Mantic Kickstarters and more importantly the games that go with them. I see Dreadball being played.
And I'm guessing that seems to be quite successful as a Kickstarter and as a game.
All of their Kickstarters are exceptionally successful. And we could certainly do another show about companies who are using Kickstarter effectively as their sort of funding mechanism, and whether they are using it as a funding mechanism. But I mean, does anyone down your club play any of the other games? You know, Kings of War or Dread Zone or any of those sorts of things?
Nope. I think they've been people who've been involved in Kickstarters for them, potentially for the scenery, for instance, for Dread Zone. But I don't. I have heard people talk about the Mantic Fantasy game, Kings of War, is it?
Kings of War,
and essentially not enjoying it, so it gets pushed to one side. But I've never seen it played. I don't think I've really seen many of the miniatures either. So no is the answer, really.
All right, so there's a couple of guys down our club who, you know, one of the Mantic Pathfinders, which is, you know, their henchman type people,
yep.
Plays at our club, and he pushes it a lot, and you often see him playing various Mantic games. You know, you see Dread Zone and you see things like that, but that's it. I don't see.
What's the 40K version?
I don't even remember what it's called.
Something of War again, or something like that.
I don't remember what it's called. It had some quite nice figures though. I quite like the Corporation figures.
Warpath. There you go.
Warpath. But again, I don't know
anyone who plays them.
Well, this year it's a sort of a mantra now, isn't it? No, I don't know anyone who plays that. Who plays that? Not me.
Drop Zone Commander.
Yeah. And they... Though, actually, I don't think the figures are as good as they looked when they were first previewing them.
I don't. I'd prefer. I mean, if I was going to do something like that, I'd probably dig out be it Battlefleet Gothic, because I hear good things about that game, or look at Spartans...
A Firestorm Armada.
Firestorm Armada, because I think some of the ships and models there, and I quite like their exploding dice system as well. The rules, you know, a lot of their rules are based on that exploding sixes. Rule and mechanism. And I do like a lot of their figures, and I think the guys down there, Neil, I think, runs the company. Their figures are high quality resin, and they are very, very nice.
Spartan's one of those interesting companies, though, that their games go through little vogues of being the in thing to play. So, Uncharted Seas?
Yep.
There was a little burst where a lot of people were playing Uncharted Seas and had fleets together for it and stuff, and then it just disappeared.
Well, they've essentially pulled it from sale. Like, you can only buy stuff from the website now. And seems to be massively replaced by their push for Dystopian Wars as well. And potentially Dystopian Legions and Firestorm as well. I think they clearly are the big core games for them. But I ran a campaign at the club for Uncharted Season. We had immense fun. It was I used the sea monsters, and we had random sea monster encounters. I had a scenario where you had to go and get to this central island and pick some stuff up. I remember making icebergs out of polystyrene, and these were random moving icebergs.
Right.
And it was great fun. I really enjoyed it, and I think lots of people enjoyed it as well.
Right, so
but it's not been played since.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think that certain games make the breakthrough to the next level and other games don't? So why did Malifaux make the breakthrough to the next level and, say, Dark Age didn't? I mean, the figures, they're both lovely sets of figures.
Yep.
I was just going to say, we've talked in the past that gamers tend to buy figures first, rule set second.
Yep.
So I don't know. What makes it break through?
Going on what you just said about figures, perhaps, you know, people have got stuff and they've just bought it, and it's like those mini games that we have where we just put it aside. We haven't gone to the next stage of, oh, who else is playing this? So you get a small core group of players playing it. Because that doesn't happen, the community necessarily doesn't get built as quickly or as effectively as other game systems like Malifaux or Hordes, War Machine or whatever. It could be even something as simple as social media and social, you know, the promotion of the game itself. I think all of those things contribute to the slow grow nature of it. It could be even, you know, we've talked about Godslayer before, their release schedule is not very good. So you're waiting for stuff to play with. It's already competing with other games systems that friends and club members and people are playing in the community. So it gets forgotten. So, and if you're having more fun with another game system, then you're less inclined to say, okay, yes, I want to play X game or Y game. And it just sort of comes out as you said in previous podcasts, I don't mind if I play this particular game once a year. That's fine. It becomes a once a year game sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. No, okay. No, that's interesting. I wonder if the games that no people play, whether Infinity gets lumped in that as well.
Yep, that's a very... I mean, I think there's a lot of talk about that, in certainly in the communities that I and you sort of frequent from a social media perspective. And it's down to... And there is this divide on the rule set and the complexity of the rule set. A lot of the figures are stunning. So we're back to down to a game where figures are stunning again, but the rule set is not necessarily one that floats everyone's boat. So you're then diminishing the number of users who'll pick it up. You can tell we work in IT, can't you? Because we talk about users.
Yes.
The customer base essentially is diminished because of that. So it's not everyone's cup of tea. And because it's not everyone's cup of tea, not everyone buys it, you know, whereas a lot of the other game systems will go out and go, oh, look, and then there's this flood of people who go out and buy stuff, jump on board and take part in the game and play it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I think, you know, one of the biggest things is having a core community somewhere, and then somebody like yourself or me or other people out there, you know, Cluso's a classic example of that, Dave Brown, who then goes and Joe, who basically build up a community. You know, they go out and they actively put on events, start promoting it, and it sort of builds up, the slow grow builds, and eventually you have a community that self-sustains itself, and away it goes. But if you haven't got those sorts of people and those sorts of personalities to promote a game or make it known that it's out there and it's a good game and people should be playing it, then it's down to the manufacturers of the games themselves to do that, and not everyone wants to do that or is inclined to do that. Some of these things, you know, some of these businesses may be not their main job.
Yeah, yeah. So
down to time again then.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I mean, I suppose it must be a worry though for people putting out new games. Take the Guild Ball guys for example. You know, you put the game together. That's a labor of love. You have a very good social media campaign. You have a good Kickstarter. You have a significant investment that you have to effectively repay back with figures, etc. But at the end of the day, you're still just sitting there waiting to see if you will get that critical mass.
Yes, it's the one thing that that is worrying me about games that come out there. It's great if you've got a small group of players and that who will bring it out and play at the club or wherever, you know, every now and then. It means you're still invested in the game, but then there's stuff there that I've got which I don't think I'll ever play, you know. And that goes to board games potentially as well.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, I don't think, from a miniature game point of view, I don't think Kickstarter has produced a... The Kickstarter methodology hasn't produced a stayer yet. You know, a game that is going to have longevity beyond
tabletop games. Yes.
Board games it has.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and I think you can, certainly in the sphere that we're talking about here, Zombicide is the prime example. Of a game that has now entered into at least gaming culture.
Yes. Yep.
But I'm not sure that it's produced a tabletop game yet. I suppose now, Relic Knights is the closest to it.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how that survives and grows, if it grows, and gets, you know, and is developed, continued development on the game in terms of the next wave of product.
Yeah, and that's
even fulfilling the existing wave itself as well, you know.
Yeah, that's the big one, isn't it? Is what comes next after the current wave of product, which, you know, 90-95% of the current wave of product you could get in the Kickstarter. Once, what's going to come after that? I think there's like one unit for each faction in the books that wasn't a Kickstarter model. So we'll get those, but then what is the next? Do you just keep expanding, you know, the story and adding things? I don't know. Interesting.
But there you go.
We sort of digressed from our original point, really.
Well, yeah, but I think part of it is down to whether or not the community sustains and holds these games anyway. So, and then that economically makes viable product expansion as well.
I suppose, I suppose you're right. I suppose that ties in with our current love affair with Epic.
Yes, and it's so sad that, you know, a lot of us have got into this later, and it's not a cheap hobby, despite the scale.
Yeah. Maybe that's a discussion for another day, though.
Well, how do you pick up a game? How do you go about?
Well, legacy games and communities existing, pretty much despite the manufacturer.
Yes. I mean, I saw an interesting discussion on a forum from the recent Armageddon game that's been released by Slytherin, or published by Slytherin.
The video game?
Yes, and how it seems to be based on the Panzer Command games yep. that they've put out before, and there's varying sort of takes on the game itself in terms of, yes, it's great, and it's 40K, and others were saying the graphics are from 10, 20 years ago, it's clunky, it's, you know, I've been missold it, and there's this whole concept of is it what it's meant to be, sort of thing, you know, and is it, because some of these people probably are Epic players. I saw a lot of forum posts saying these are Epic, you know, I love Epic, so I'm playing this, and I love 40K and I'm playing this, and it was an interesting discussion, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is an interesting one. Anyway, we should go.
We should do.
So,
we got to go and look for other games that we love the figures of and can't play.
Can't play. Warhammer Fantasy Battle.
Yes. Well, we've got a campaign starting next year, so I'm guessing I'm going to be playing it again at some point, and there is the rumours of ninth appearing next year in May as well.
Yeah, anyway. Right, okay, until then, I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.